Translation in Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My Lord, kindly explain to us, if you think us competent to receive it, that transcendental knowledge which gives enlightenment about yourself and which you explained before to Brahmaji. A pure devotee like Uddhav has no material afflictions because he engages constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. A devotee feels afflicted without the association of the Lord. Constant remembrance of the Lord's activities keeps the devotee alive. And therefore, Uddhav requested that the Lord please enlighten him with the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, as previously instructed to Brahmaji. I'll just read the translation again. My Lord, kindly explain to us, if you think us competent to receive it, that transcendental knowledge which gives enlightenment about yourself and which you explained before to Brahmaji. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmei Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadhamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Brishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Before I continue, I just seek blessings from all the Vaishnavas that my only intention is to please Guru Krishna and all of you and inspire anyone else who may hear. So, first things first, the Srimad Bhagavatam is absolutely phenomenal. The more you read Srimad Bhagavatam, the more your mind is blown. The term I could use for the Srimad Bhagavatam, even the Gita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all the scriptures that Srila Prabhupada has given us access to is ineffable, meaning that it's so great, you cannot define it. And that's literally the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because when I was asked to give a class on this verse, and just the situation that it's being spoken in, you could see how everything links at the same time. You can literally get everything, the essence of devotional service, just from this one verse. And we'll go on to break down the verse to see how there's so many elements just to this one verse in relation to the Chaturshloki of that Uddhav is requesting Krishna to give him the knowledge of that, again, like he says, which you explained before to Brahmaji. But before we go into that, I just want to speak about Uddhav and praise Uddhav, because it's only by the grace of the pure devotees that we can actually reach Krishna. It's by the grace of the devotees that we actually can know Krishna. We cannot do it on our own. Uddhav, as we know, is a pure devotee. He's very close to Krishna. He's very dear to Krishna. He's a counselor. Krishna seeks advice from Uddhav. In the Vrishni dynasty. And in the 10th canto, Srila Prabhupada explains that actually in the Sri Harivamsa, it states that Uddhav is the son of Vasudev's brother, Devabhag. And the verse that describes this is Uddhavo Devabhagasya Mahabhaga Suto Bhavat. So actually, Uddhava and Krishna are cousins. Also, Arjuna and Krishna. So they have a really close relationship. And Uddhava is extremely dear to Krishna. And we all know the pastime when Krishna asked Uddhava to go to Vrindavan to give a message. So he was going as a messenger. And again, we can see the qualities of Uddhava. See, Uddhava is a great devotee, but at that time, Krishna felt that he was missing something within his heart. And what that was pure devotional, spontaneous love for Krishna. So Krishna, in his wonderful way, said, okay, go give this message. So Uddhava thought he was giving a message, but actually the Brajavasis were giving him something. So when he went to give the message, especially to the gopis, he sat down and was giving this message. But when he witnessed all of the gopis' spontaneous love, you could say mad love, an eagerness to be with Krishna, then he realized, this is what I'm missing. This profound, spontaneous, deep love for Krishna, which the gopis have. So in his mind, he thought, I want the dust of their lotus feet. But it would be improper because they were coward damsels and, you know, he was within the Vrishni dynasty in the princely order. So he prayed to Krishna that please make me, you know, the grass of Vrindavan. So in that way, the dust of the lotus feet will always be upon my head. And so Krishna fulfilled that desire in Vrindavan. To cross Uddhav Kund, you go to Kusum Sarova. And in a small corner of Uddhav Kund is this shrubs or grass, which is a manifestation of Uddhav. I believe the grass, it's like a short grass called Kulumalata, I believe. But I may be wrong. So we can see the humility and how much eagerness he had from seeing the eagerness of the gopis to be in that situation, to be in that position that let the pure devotees basically step upon my head so that I can get the dust of the lotus feet and that I may also one day fall in love with Krishna the way they are. So this is the significance of Uddhav. And we can also see this, that nearly a whole canto is dedicated to him. You know, the 11th canto when Krishna speaks the Uddhav Gita. And here he's again requesting for the knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll break down this verse and see how wonderful it is and the traits of Uddhav that we can learn from. As the more we listen to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada teaches us that at every single moment of our lives, we can see Krishna everywhere. And Srila Prabhupada taught us that through his actions, through his words, through his teachings. And in the same way, Uddhava is also doing the same. That we can see Krishna everywhere. All we need to do is open our hearts. And in that way, we can receive Krishna. So the first thing that sticks out is Krishna says, my Lord. And what does this emphasize? This emphasizes we all have a relationship with Krishna. He doesn't say, oh Lord. He says, my Lord. In the same way, we should have that. We should strive for that personal relationship. Whenever we see Radha Gokulananda, how do we speak to them? Initially, we may come to this stage of awe and reverence. But the more we develop our relationship with Krishna, the more we will fall in love. And though Krishna's for everyone, we will actually see Krishna as our own. He's mine. He's mine. So this is what Uddhava's emphasizing. Sambandha, the relationship we have to try to imbibe with Krishna. And then he says, kindly explain to us if you think us competent to receive it. I mean, that's quite self-explanatory. He's showing humility. Right? He's showing humility. And this links to Abhideya, the actions. This is the result of the action. How can we determine someone who's a pure devotee? Arjun asked in the Bhagavad Gita, how does a devotee walk? How does he sit? How does he eat? And the Krishna gives the answers by the qualities. That's how we can determine who's a devotee. because by their qualities. And the greatest quality that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized is that we need humility. We need to be humble like a blade of grass. Because when we're humble like a blade of grass, that's when we can receive Krishna within the heart. But we cannot know Krishna 100%. Only Krishna knows himself 100%. But we can know him 100% to the degree of our own relationship. So whether that's like 70% of Krishna, that's 100% to the individual who needs to know Krishna that much. The next thing that that Uddhav says is that transcendental knowledge which gives enlightenment about yourself. So Uddhav's basically saying to Krishna, give me knowledge of yourself. And there's no one better to go than to Krishna himself. Right? That's why the Bhagavad Gita is so perfect. So is the Srimad Bhagavatam and many other scriptures. But the Bhagavad Gita is so perfect because Arjuna is going to Krishna directly, which Prabhupada mentions in the purports, that if you want to know God, approach God. And especially those who know God. Right? See, Krishna, see the quality of humility naturally ultimately comes from Krishna. Krishna is humble. And we can see this many times through many pastimes. So Krishna, as he says, he gives a small glimpse to Arjuna of who he is. But when you go to the pure devotees of Krishna, those who love him, they will give you essays, verses, stories, lifetimes of knowledge about Krishna. Right? It's like, for example, whether it be partners, friends, siblings, children, to the parents. You could go directly to know someone, but if you go to someone who loves them and is a very close associate, then you will learn so much more about them. Because, like I said, the person initially may be humble and not say much. So yeah, those who have become perfected, like Uddhav, we must approach them in order to know Krishna, because they are his representatives, and they make Krishna sweeter. It's like the essence, the mango. We don't look at a mango and say, oh, it looks very nice. Oh, it feels very nice. Like, knock on it. Oh, it sounds very nice. We go for the essence, the taste. So in order to taste Krishna truly, without looking at all of these external things in relation to the mango, how it looks, how does it sound, how does it feel, we need to go to those who have tasted that mango, who've tasted Krishna, who've got that taste and can give us that taste. And the last part is, he says, and which you explained before to Brahma, and this emphasizes it's only by the grace of the spiritual master that we can obtain Krishna. Because ultimately Brahmaji, we are in the Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and he's mentioned first because when the universe was created, he was the first being whom which Krishna imparted the knowledge upon within his heart. So Uddhav is emphasizing that it's a spiritual master that can open the doors to our heart. See, why I mentioned doors is because it's not a door like an ordinary door, two doors and it opens. The door within our heart, it's like intertwined, it overlaps with each other. And that way it becomes strong. A good example is, I don't know if the younger generation may know this, but the other generations remember the Yellow Pages. There's this book called the Yellow Pages. And it's basically had every single number in there, your local community, you could get your neighbor's number or anything. But each page of this book was so thin, like it could easily tear. But someone did an experiment that if you were to overlap the pages of two books like that, and you were to try to pull them apart, because of the friction, it's so tightly compact, you wouldn't be able to. Again, they did an experiment. They even brought the strongest man on earth, and he couldn't even pull it apart. That's how strong it is. So our anarthas in front of Krishna, in front of Guru, they're nothing. They'll tear easily like the individual paper. But the more we step away from Krishna and Guru, the more our anarthas intertwine with each other, it's hard to open that door. And so it's through sadhana bhakti, it's through hearing in class, hearing from the pure devotees, chanting Krishna's name, associating with devotees, which is extremely important, then these locks start to loosen up. They start to loosen up, so there's not much friction. But still we can't open the door, because we're not on the other side. And who's on the other side? It is Guru. And Guru is the one who can then open the door, and then allow Krishna to come into our hearts, and let it be Krishna's playground. And Krishna can dance within our hearts. Krishna can do as he pleases. Krishna can do as he pleases. Because when Krishna dances within our hearts, we're able to dance ecstatically for him, just the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how to dance for Krishna, always dancing for Krishna. And there's this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita which really stands out in relation to this dancing, and how if we let Krishna into our hearts, he as a supreme controller can allow us to dance for him with pure love. And I cannot remember the Bengali, but it's in the Adi Leela, I believe in chapter 5, it's written that Krishna alone is the supreme controller, and everyone else is his servant. He makes them dance as he wants to do so. So if we let Krishna within our hearts, he can make us dance as he wants, because every single soul is an eternal servant, is a servant of Krishna. Oh, I had the verse written down. It says, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Britya Yare Yache Nachaya Se Tache Kare Nitya. Lord Krishna alone is a supreme controller, and all others are his servants. They dance as he makes them do so. So we have to think that if we want Krishna to dance within our hearts, we have to really invest our energy, time, our mood, and in our relationship with Krishna, to loosen the intertwining locks of the door that Guru can easily open, and therefore have Krishna within our hearts. So this is the power of the spiritual master. And pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada have given us the best example of how to be fully dedicated to the spiritual master, how to have undivided attention and service towards the spiritual master. So we all know the famous lecture where Srila Prabhupada talks about his disciples being the representative of his spiritual master, which was in LA in 1973. I think there's about five or six accounts where he mentions this very same aspect of his disciples, of those in the movement being a representation of his spiritual master, and majority of them were in LA. I think it was written once in a letter in New York. So LA seems a very special place. Srila Prabhupada always saw his spiritual master. But Prabhupada always saw his spiritual master, and it was in a class on the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. And Prabhupada says, what he desired, I'm trying a little bit, and you are all helping me. So I have to thank you more. You are actually representatives of my Guru Maharaj. And that's when Srila Prabhupada started to well up. Because you are helping me in executing the order of my Guru Maharaj. So even through his disciples and the devotees of the Krishna conscious movement, he saw his spiritual master. So as I was emphasizing before, we can see Krishna everywhere as long as we open our hearts and our eyes and our ears. We can see Guru, we can see the lessons we are being taught at every single moment, as long as we open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes. And like I mentioned, he also mentioned it another time, but the one I really like is in a letter in 1972, and he mentions the same thing, but the way he says it's very nice. Srila Prabhupada says, I accept you therefore as my representatives of my Guru Maharaj, playing as my affectionate disciples. Said very sweetly. That the disciples are in the role of his spiritual master. And so the way Uddhav is requesting Krishna for this knowledge that was given to Brahma, we can always pray to Guru, we can always pray to Krishna, please open my heart, please open my eyes so I may be able to see you everywhere. Please open my ears so that I may hear and be attentive to your holy name and for any message that's given to us. Please open the storehouse of taste so that I can taste your holy name. I can taste prashad and always remember you. Please open the sense of touch that whether I'm beside a devotee or even put my hand above the flame with an arati and even touch the flowers, that I'm able to constantly remember you, Krishna, constantly remember you, my spiritual master. And so Krishna goes on to give Vidur the knowledge that was given to Brahmaji at the start of creation. And in the Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains the four kinds of knowledge, so a knowledge within each verse that was given to Brahma. But he says that Vaishnava Dharma, or the process of bhakti, is like a lotus flower that eventually blooms. So it's the seed is given, and the more we, again, go deeper within our relationship with Krishna, understand who we are, understand who Krishna is, and carry out those activities that get us closer to Krishna and connect in our relationship with him, then ultimately we are covering these four verses, the Chaturshloki, that again Uddhava is requesting. And so the four kinds of the four aspects that is given within the Chaturshloki is, first of all, Bhagavat Gyan, transcendental knowledge of the Absolute. And we can see that here, because when Uddhav says, that transcendental knowledge which gives enlightenment about yourself, that's knowledge of the Absolute, that's a knowledge of Krishna. And then the next is Maya Vijnana, analytical knowledge of the Lord's external potency. And we see that again through the Srimad Bhagavatam. We are given an extreme amount of detail of how the universe is created, how it remains, the dissolution of the universe, and the reason why the universe is created in the first place, or the material creation, not just this universe alone. And then obviously there's sadhana bhakti, the means of reaching the goal, and finally prem, which is the object of the goal. And so Uddhav is a phenomenal and a great example of receiving that knowledge. With his humility, he says, if you think us competent to receive it. So, because of his humility, he's able to get those four aspects which I just mentioned and receive Krishna in his heart. And again, emphasizing that the spiritual master is the one who can open that door, which he gives emphasis to. Then Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that there's no affliction for the devotee. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai. Shishi Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Srila Prabhupada then goes into that there's no material affliction for the devotee because he engages constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So when one focuses on Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, then one need not to think of the material afflictions that supposedly come his or her way. Because when one is on the absolute platform, even those things which externally, seemingly, are tough, are actually those things which are seen as a part of the relationship of the devotee to Krishna. It's like, for example, Mother Kunti. She prayed, please Krishna, give me distress, life after life after life. Because when you do, that's when I think of Krishna the most. That's when I think of you the most, Krishna. So they don't see the afflictions, material afflictions, or the distresses as that. Again, because on the absolute platform, that which is good and bad are both absolute, both equal in their relationship to Krishna. So Prabhupada continues and says, but a devotee is afflicted when they don't have the association of the Lord. And so that's why we need to, like Uddhav, approach a spiritual master, open our hearts, so that we always have the association of the Lord. And that's why it's very important that every moment of our life, every interaction we have, we are always conscious, how is Krishna present within this? Because whenever we see Krishna's hand within everything, then ultimately we'll be so deeply connected with Krishna that as a pure devotee doesn't desire liberation or the four kinds of liberation, neither would we. Because all we have is complete absorption in Krishna, and therefore we're associating with Krishna. There's no difference being physically with him than being within the material world and constantly thinking of Krishna, because his form, his name are completely non-different, and especially his name. And going to these three aspects of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, in Abhideya, the activities that are carried out to build our relationship with Krishna, the most important that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us in this day and age is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the more we connect with the holy name, the more we are directly connecting with Krishna. There is no difference whatsoever. And so the best thing we can do then to see Krishna everywhere is to invest in that relationship with the holy name through japa, through kirtan, being on the streets and chanting the holy name, coming for morning program, coming to kirtans in the evenings. And we should just completely invest in this holy name, because the holy name, just like bhakti, is complete in itself. We do not need to go to any other part of the Vedas or any other aspect of the Vedas, because bhakti and the holy name is complete in itself. It has everything imbibed within it, that when we invest in that, we can then absolutely understand our eternal position, our relationship with Krishna, and who Krishna is to the degree we need to know who Krishna is. And so, as going back to this point when I said that association is so important, the Srimad Bhagavatam, like I said, is also ineffable. It's too great to even describe, because again, there's not only just the book Bhagavat, there's also the person Bhagavat. And why are they non-different? Because the book Bhagavat explains who the person Bhagavat is. And the person Bhagavat lives by the book Bhagavat, who explains who the person Bhagavat is, who lives by the book Bhagavat. So you can see they are non-different. And so here, Uddhav is completely present. If you choose to associate with the Srimad Bhagavatam and Uddhav through even these verses, through hearing him speak, then you're already associating directly with the pure devotee. Because we may read about Uddhav, and sometimes we may just think, okay, this happened over 5,000 years ago. This is the history. This is what we can just learn from him. But the more you connect with the Srimad Bhagavatam and the personalities within, you're deeply associating with the personality. Because ultimately, what do? When you associate with someone, you hear from them. And what are we doing? We're hearing from Uddhav. You learn about someone when you associate. They tell you about themselves. What was Srila Prabhupada giving us? He's giving us knowledge of Uddhav. So we're directly associating with these personalities. All we need to do again is just open our hearts, open our eyes, our ears to that. And when we do so, we will truly understand the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was given in four verses. But like I said, we got all of that essence within just one verse. So imagine how much more we can get with every other verse prior to it, after it, and within the other scriptures. So investing in our sadhana bhakti, in especially chanting the Maha Mantra, is our key to loosen up the intertwining locks of our heart, to let Guru open it freely, is the key to start to see how we can truly associate with these personalities within the book and a person Bhagavat. And it's the key to open our hearts and mind to our relationship with Krishna and see Krishna in every single interaction whatsoever. It's said that the material creation is obviously created in such a way that it's perfectly imperfect or imperfectly perfect to show us that it's not a perfect place, but it's done so in a perfect way to show us we belong somewhere else in the spiritual realm. But also the spiritual realm shows us in every single moment what relationship is, right? Plants can only grow when the sun is present. It's a relationship between the plant and the sun. So even amongst things which we may see seemingly has no personality, there's a relationship with something, right? The door over there has a relationship between the temple room and the reception room. So everything, again, we have to open our eyes and heart to see this, that there's relationship everywhere. So the essence of creation is relationship. And the best relationship that we need to connect with is Krishna and all the Vaishnavas. So by going to the spiritual master, as Arjun also showed us, he said to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, I accept you as my spiritual master. And Krishna also gives the knowledge that we need to go to a spiritual master, carry out service, and be humble. When we do that, that's when we can open our hearts. And most importantly, like I said, by learning to love the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. If there's any questions, I'll try to answer them. But if not, most importantly, if there's any corrections or comments. Taruna Prabhu. That's okay. If not, I can repeat the question so people can hear.
Okay, you get my point.
Yeah, I'll just repeat it for those who may not have heard. So, Trina Prabhu was saying that it's mentioned that Uddhava is a great devotee, but Arjun is Krishna's best friend, considered his best friend. And so he feels like there's this conflict between, in one sense, who's greater? Is it being the great devotee or the best friend of Krishna?
It's kind of conflict between these two. If you're best devotee, I just presume refers to everything doing properly, and then to be best friend, this kind of breaks down this, and then Krishna enjoy more that. So
I think it's based on the consciousness that, because even a best friend of Krishna is a devotee. He's just devoted in a specific way. Arjuna is devoted as a friend to Krishna. Whereas, like you mentioned, Uddhav did not have that spontaneous love, so that's why Krishna sent him. So again, going back to the breakdown on this verse, when I said that the first two words, my Lord, emphasizes we all have an individual relationship with Krishna. So, and I was explaining that we may not know Krishna 100%, but we may know him 100% to the degree we know, need to know him, whether that's 50% of knowing Krishna, but that's 100% to us. So the way Uddhav is a great devotee of Krishna in his relationship, it's perfect. But the way Arjun is a great devotee as a friend, he's also perfect. But also Srila Prabhupada mentions that, again in the 10th canto, where it explains how Uddhav is Krishna's cousin, Srila Prabhupada writes that he's a counselor and friend of Krishna. So he's also in this Sakya friendship mood with Krishna. But again, because they have their own individual relationships, they connect with Krishna 100% and in a perfect way they need to with Krishna and his service for them. So I think the term devotee is very general, because, you know, Mother Yashoda is a devotee, Uddhav is a devotee, Arjuna is a devotee, but they all have different relationships. But again, the more we read, we see the interchanging of these words. Like here may say, or prior to it, it says Uddhav is a great devotee. But in 10th canto, it says Uddhav is a friend of Krishna, counselor of Krishna. And people might think, oh, counselor may not be so close to Krishna. But it's also mentioned that just the way Arjun says, oh, I used to lay on the bed, would you have a joke with you? Same with Uddhav. He did the exact same thing.
In that sense, is it then? I just feel there is a kind of conflict between the person who is intimate friend of Krishna, between devotees who is greatest devotee, in the sense that doing everything perfectly. I just can't describe. The spontaneity kind of is hampered by being aware what you should do and what you should not do, or something.
I think one way we can see it is that our relationship with Krishna is a process. So Krishna already, and that's why Krishna is so merciful, because he already sees us as perfect, but he's still careful to come close or give himself to us. So on that journey of one who's a great devotee but may not know spiritual love, or spontaneous love, sorry, Krishna will still see that devotee as perfect, because ultimately, you know, we as spirit souls beyond the material world, we are, because we're directly connected with Krishna. But he gives us what we need, when we need, in order to enhance that relationship even more. So ultimately, so on the absolute platform, yes, like Uddhav, or in this context, we're saying that in relation to the best friend or another sort of relationship with Krishna, in comparison to one who's still not perfected that aspect, Krishna sees them as perfect. Krishna is giving them the mercy. So long, again, as they have their heart open, their eyes, their ears, and all their senses open into receiving Krishna. And then Krishna will give them everything, give them access to that spontaneous love that is already innate within the heart. So it's a process, it's a journey. And that's why Krishna is so wonderful. That's why Prabhupada, again, ineffable, no words to describe, because it proves that he's a pure devotee, and that he sees the perfection in everyone, despite the external faults that, you know, people may have had then or we may have now. But it shows the mercy, because we're in this movement, which is of, like I said earlier, bhakti, which is the greatest essence, and everything's contained within it. We have the high access to the highest thing, the most purest love, but it's a process to get there. And Krishna's mercy is that we're still here on the path. Thanks. What time does it have to end? Is it strict? All right, we'll go through more verses. yes. Bhagavatam's amazing.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for the class. And I would like, can you say something, the difference between humility, false humility, and insecurity? Because sometimes maybe a person say, no, I don't do or I don't say something because I'm humble, but in reality it's insecurity or also false humility. So can you say something about that?
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking about this also. I didn't mention it in the class, but it's interesting how Uddhav says, for example, if you think us competent to receive it, he doesn't say, I am the most fallen, I cannot receive it, no, I cannot do that. Because insecurity and false humility is actually a block. If we say out of falsity, and not feel it within our heart, or out of insecurity, actually I'll get to the insecurity part later, but the false humility, we're like, you know, I'm fallen and I can't do anything without the grace of the devotees. But then if we approach and say, oh, could you help me in the service? Oh, no, I can't do it. Then that shows that there's a block because, okay, I mean, there may be so many different things, they may not be able to do the service. But again, we have to understand it's a process. Right? A process doesn't mean we stay at one level and we'll always stay there and therefore we'll just get the mercy and Krishna will give us everything, we become a pure devotee. That's false humility. Thinking I'm always going to stay the way I am with all my anarthas, all my flaws, and it's fine. I understand my anarthas, but I'm not going to work on them. That's false humility. Real humility is that I know I have anarthas. I know I'm not perfect, but I'll do everything I can, but also mostly importantly by the grace of the spiritual master and Krishna, in order to get to this stage of perfection, which is to deeply and profoundly love Krishna. That's real humility. Insecurity can be seen, or this lack of true connection with the self can be seen. Similar to false humility, we just say, okay, I'm going to behave in this manner, so on and so forth, because I see everyone else do it. I'm just going to follow the herd. There's this aspect of fake it till you make it. It's not that, oh, I got an artist, so I'm just going to let them out. The more we do out these practices, pay our obeisances, that helps us build that real humility. This insecurity of lack of connection with our true self, it comes from, yes, we may be within Krishna consciousness, but again, are we truly associating with the Vaishnavas? Are we associating with the personalities within the book? Are we associating it directly in order to reach the goal? Or are we just here because we got some temporary happiness initially? I think it was Govinda Prabhu, you mentioned in a class, you said Bhaktivinoda Thakur says two aspects. In Krishna consciousness, we get immediate happiness, but we also get this. What were the terms?
Shreyas and Priyas.
Oh, yes, Shreyas and Priyas. Within Krishna consciousness, we do. We get this initial happiness, like, oh, it's amazing. And it keeps us there. But if we don't develop that deeper happiness, which is on the platform of the root true self, the soul, and we're so focused on the externals, so focused again, oh, I got these anarthas but don't want to work on them, then we're constantly going to be insecure. Why are we going to be insecure? Because we're not dealing with our real self, which is already secure. We're already confident, truly confident in our relationship with Krishna. But because we're acting on the external platform of something which is not us, we're going to be insecure, right? It's like, if we take the other aspect of, if we're just looking at the externals, someone who's confident, if you say something to them or do something to them, they won't be harmed by it. They'll just be like, okay, it's, it's fine, because they're confident within themselves. But someone, on the other hand, will be affected by it, because they may be too much within their head, too much within, oh, this is not perfect about me, this is not perfect about me. But again, once we connect with the Vaishnavas who are perfected, then we truly see that actually there is perfection within myself, but I just can't access it yet. But I need to be patient and not expect it tomorrow. I mean, if you chant... See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you chant the name of Krishna, the holy name, once, but there was something else with that. If you chant the name of Krishna once, you attain prem. The other thing was, avoid criticism. Which can be one of the most difficult challenges for a Vaishnava on this path. But if you want the goal to be, I want to be in pure love for Krishna, and make that your one aim, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, for those who are irresolute, for those who are on this path, the aim is one. They're focused. But if we're swayed away, if our thoughts are many branched, swayed away, all the externals, that's where we're going to be. We'll never be focused. So it's not to say we won't attain prem, but it could take billions of lifetimes. And then you have to ask yourself, do I really want to be here billions of lifetimes? No. I mean, if Krishna wants me to, then fine. But we have to reach that level. So someone who has real humility will always try to see Krishna everywhere, even with some things that supposedly is bad that's happened to them. Someone with false humility will always block everything that's coming to them. And someone who's insecure just hasn't connected enough to understand that, to work towards the goal. I hope that helps.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
It occurs to me that Prabhupada was a perfect example of creating or getting us to dig deeply, or his disciples, his relationship with him in his passing days. He was always in command, telling them what to do, you know, controlling that, and he would chastise them as well. Get angry. Oh my goodness. So, but actually, they were all appropriate for the moment in time. The moment in time when Prabhupada was at his most helpless, he was still writing books. He was thinking of others, of themselves. He says, I've written everything in my books. You just have to see it. And so he would continue in spite of pain, agony. And even when his disciples say, Prabhupada, please don't go on this parikram. It could endanger you. And Prabhupada, he said, okay, I'll stay longer. But in the end, Krishna had his way. He took him when it was more suitable. But the example he showed was this total self-sacrifice, giving up his control to the disciples. Let them look after me. Let them teach me. They'll learn by this deep personal service. He was, you know, and in those last few days, you know, the final days, he just wanted to carry on revealing everything. Because he says, what you see now, I've already, but it's already established in my books. I have nothing more to say to you. And we just have to know what he meant by that. Hang in there. Let's find out. Go from old age, birth, disease, until the pain of the Lord, he, in that pain, he takes them away. He takes us all away. You know, sometimes the pain physically is also difficult to endure. But you know, I've come through those moments, actually, where that pain has been worth it, because it's taken me a step closer to what I should know, that I have to let people serve me. It's foolishness not to. It's an act of selfishness if we're not careful. And then you get to know everybody that is helping you, because they reveal their own heart. So maybe all their suffering is worth the pain. You don't know until you get there, until the next step. Either you're taken by Krishna in his decision, and he just carried on and carried on in excruciating pain. So it's an amazing thing. You have to go through this process in our lives. We're not babies anymore. And gradually, as you reveal in yourself, I remember when you were a young person here, when you're doing the courses, you know, there's some things you had to learn on a practical level. And you probably are now in the lessons of life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Without falling in the good or bad paradigm, without falling into dualism, how can we remain centered in ourselves without becoming cold or selfish, maintaining association, friendship with the devotee and the contemporary sambandha? Because in difficult moment, we all have tendencies. For example, some people prefer stay alone, or prefer stay in association. With Krishna, no, you prefer stay alone, and you feeling too much connection with Krishna, or stay with other people, and you feeling the same connection. You give a, if you want, a personal example, practical example.
What's the question? It's quite long.
How can we remain centered in ourselves without becoming cold or selfish, maintaining association, friendship with a devotee, and contemporary sambandha?
Okay, so like, say for example, someone prefers staying on their own and they feel happy with their relationship that way, but how can we find the balance of connecting with other Vaishnavas as well? I think just going to this point that was emphasized today, that yes, we have an individual relationship with Krishna, but it is only by the grace of the devotees and the spiritual master that we can truly know Krishna. And that's a sign of humility. Because even myself, if I had a choice, I'll be stuck in a room for years on my own. But we have to understand that that also is just a temporary part of our self, right? That's not how all devotees in the spiritual world think. They constantly be with each other. Let's talk about Krishna. Let's play with Krishna. Let's, you know. So this idea of being alone is just a temporary aspect of ourself. But we have to, the more we read, the more we gain the knowledge that actually it's the spiritual master, it's the Vaishnavas that are going to really give me Krishna. When we accept that in our heart, through humility, then naturally we can have our own time, because again, in the immediate phase you're saying, because we're not in the perfected stage, some people need their own time alone, and that's where they are most efficient. So that's fine, you can have that time. But no matter what, don't neglect the devotees. You know, you can, especially through, again, everything's about relationship. If you want to spend time on your own, someone comes, you could just explain to them, oh, I just need some time alone, but maybe later we can talk or we could do something. But you have to live up to that promise. You will go speak to them after. So take that time, be with yourself, but understand ultimately that it's like the pastime of Durvasa Muni. You know, when he offended Ambarish Maharaj. And then he went to everyone, then he went to Vishnu. And even Vishnu said, look, I can't help you because you've offended my devotee. And there's this great book by Shivram Maharaj where he explains the conversation between Vishnu and Durvasa Muni. And it's very profound, very deep, very philosophical, and very sweet all at the same time. And Vishnu is explaining to Durvasa Muni that Durvasa Muni was so like narrow, I don't want to offend Durvasa Muni, but in that moment he was very narrow-minded, thinking, oh, I do all of this sadhana, I do all of this, why are you not accepting me? But Narayan was trying to explain that even the devotee is above myself. So if you worship the Vaishnavas, if you treat the Vaishnavas nice, when during Guru Puja you dance with the Vaishnavas, you're pleasing Krishna. You're already pleasing him. Rather than just standing on their own and trying to dance for him, you giving joy to the Vaishnavas collectively is what Krishna wants. And that's what Prabhupada wants. Prabhupada said, you have to cooperate with one another. And it's only through that cooperation that this movement is present. And it will remain present because of the cooperation of the devotees. And that shows how powerful Vaishnavas are. So yes, explain that I need some time alone, and everyone's different, that's fine. But never ever even think, I'm going to neglect a devotee, or nah, I don't want to spend time with the devotees. Because they are your key. They are your key back to Krishna. So yeah, whether it's through writing, reading, hearing, try to see how you can develop your relationship more with the Vaishnavas. And I'm not perfected, but from my spiritual master and from Srila Prabhupada, I can see that this is the key. Make Vaishnavas your life and soul. And then you already have Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.